Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but with holidays, I just celebrate all week. Just gives the opportunity to tell other people happy Thanksgiving. I'm mom's sous chef. I cook, but I do not bake because I don't like following directions. Surprise! So I do what mom tells me to do. So we made a bunch of pies. I'm a pie girl. I really am. Give me a good fruit pie. I really want to bring an apple pie, but if you ever hold an apple pie horizontal, what happens? So we're going with pumpkin. And this is a pumpkin pie. It is homemade, and I might just give it to someone to finish off so mom and I don't. But I'm actually dedicating this message. Where's Miss Anita Torres? Is she downstairs? She serves faithfully as an usher. I'm in the middle of a series called Grace to Live an Abundant Life, Victorious Over Sin. And today is my third installment. I think it's my final one. And after I preached my second message on this, Anita came up to me and she goes, you know, you were talking about the Holy Spirit coming in fullness with the kingdom of God. She goes, I want to tell you about how your dad taught that. And she goes, he said, it's like having the whole pie. You can picture a whole pie. And some people just get a slice. And it's good. Taste and see and know that the Lord is good. But my dad used to say, but do you want the whole pie?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Do you want the whole pie? My dad was a man that always wanted more. Man, I learned how to overeat and unbutton the belt last notch from my dad. We're tall and thin. You can pack a lot down when you're tall and thin. He always wanted more. He wanted more spiritually. He wanted more for his people. He wanted more for the world. He was never satisfied. He's a very driven person. And I started thinking about this. And I was like, you know, Lord, I want more. I want more. I am tired of being satisfied with one slice of the pie. I want more. And you know what God tastes like? He tastes like more. He always tastes like more. I want to challenge you guys to reevaluate your lives today in this message. I'm talking about God's grace to live an abundant life, victorious over sin. Last step, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's a little bit of a buzzword in the church today, so I want you guys to not think about what denominational perspectives are. We're a non-denominational church. That means all denominations are welcome because we're one body in Christ, but this is one that tends to divide, so I want you guys to step aside for some semantics from the divisions and just think about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the whole pie. Many of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit, have asked God, God, I want you in my life. I want you to fill my life. But sometimes, because we get busy in life, actually, this is the first Thanksgiving I didn't overeat. Shocker, if you know me. I just had a lot on my mind. When you got a lot on your mind, you got a lot on your plate, sometimes you forget about more because you think you got enough going on. Some of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We get a portion of the Holy Spirit when we get born again, right? The life and power and nature of God is in us. But my question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? And how much of you recently does he have? Many of us have received just enough of Jesus to stay out of hell. We're good. But we feel like hell is pressing in on every side every day. So we're not receiving enough of the grace of God to live in victory. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. And if you remember my series on grace, there is an endless supply of God's grace. And you know who they call the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? They call him the Spirit of Grace. So we're going to open that up today. So if you want to kind of have a base place where we're going to be teaching from, you can open up to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be reading a lot there towards the end. But I'm going to give a quick review. If you want the CDs, they are free. Just write Grace Messages. I will give you a ton. For the sake of time, I'm not going to reteach a lot like I have in the past. But I want to let you know, Grace to Live an Abundant Life, Victorious Over Sin. My first message was step one. Step one is renew your mind to your new spiritual DNA. What is grace? Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's life. That's from Strong's Concordance. Now, often when you see the word grace in your Bible, they don't write that whole thing unless you're in the Amplified and you are a girl and you like wordy stuff. If you're a man, you like it short, straight to the point, probably don't read the Amplified. By the way, I'm teaching out of it today. Surprise. Okay, for the messages up there. All right, so God's divine influence, his character, his nature, his power, his fullness, his love, his joy, his peace, all that he is, received in our lives and reflected. You must receive the fullness of God's love to love unconditionally. Is that right? Yeah. You have to receive the fullness of God's joy, despite your circumstances, to be joyful in the midst of the storm. A lot of Michael's songs today are beautiful in the fact of life comes at you, it comes at you hard. Things that are unexpected, things that are traumatic, loss, happens. But joy rises up, and joy always comes in the morning. You will not walk that out unless you're daily receiving it. If you daily receive it, you can be a light of joy to your family in the holidays in the midst of everything that they're going through. That is grace. Grace is received. I'm not going to reteach this, but hey, quarterback. Quarterback's tossing this ball. My quarterback is Jesus. The Lord God is always looking to you to receive an endless supply of God's grace. Yeah, I know. The athletic side of the family is in that section right there. Right there. I'm not going to throw this. So, all you got to do is get your receiver on. It's perfect. Mom preached it. I don't have to. So, step one, renew your mind to your spiritual DNA. Step two, we talked about last time, was get a kingdom mindset through a grace view. Just get that message. It's good. It leads right up to the Holy Spirit. In fact, all three of these steps are like Lego blocks. I was obsessed with Legos, me and my brother. That was like our thing we did. They fit perfectly together. So step one, renew your mind to your spiritual DNA. Step two, get a kingdom mindset through a grace view. And step three, which is today, is be filled with the Holy Spirit of grace. We had a friend of the family come over last night, and something was going on with their car. Their car was not going to go home back to Harrisburg, so they did a little run around and got that thing going. But I don't know about you. Do you ever feel like you just need a little bit of a jump start in God? You know, you are just not running at full capacity, or you feel like you are going nowhere fast. The Holy Spirit is what supercharges us to live an abundant, victorious life. The kingdom life is God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The key to a kingdom-minded life is being filled with the Holy Spirit. It actually says that the kingdom of God is within you. You actually cannot actively move in grace without the Spirit of grace, right? You got to need God. You got to hook up to something, because if you try to move in your own strength, your own ability, your own power, your own limited love, not unconditional, you're going to stall out in front of someone's house. Holidays. We slipping something in the back room. I'm just saying, it is what it is. You have to hook up with the Spirit of God to move in grace. So the Holy Spirit is a person. It is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a power, but he is power. He is powerful. In fact, the Holy Spirit is the most ignored person in the church. Do you know why? People have made him awkward and weird. He is so normal. I am so full of him. I am normal. Look at me on Facebook. Actually, don't. That's weird. Don't cyberstalk me. But I am normal. You may think I dress weird. Whatever. Okay? The Holy Spirit is so normal. He is so full. He is so great. And the church has made him so weird that an entire generation has written him off. My dad died, just in case you didn't get the memo. I knew some people very close to me, even in my own family, that wrote off the Holy Spirit because of that. He is the most ignored person in the church because people don't really know what to say. But it's so simple. He is so full. He is so throughout the Old and the New Testament. It's beautiful. He is the third person of the Godhead, God in three forms. Water is water, solid, liquid, gas, based upon its characteristic, right? God in three forms, based upon the characteristic. We're talking today about God in the body, in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you a glimpse today, and maybe next month I'll give you another aspect of it. All right, Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus urgently tells his disciples, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." These are the last words of Jesus. Anybody been around to say goodbye to someone? Their last words? We had a family friend last night who said his last words to his father-in-law, and they were beautiful. Rushed out to the hospital to hear the last words of his father-in-law. And his heart still welled 2 years later of what that man said. Jesus was about ready to go. He's going to go home. He wasn't dying. He died and then raised from the dead and went back, seated on the right hand of the Father, right? So his last words are vitally important. But we blow past him a lot just because, oh, the Holy Spirit, you know, it's a little awkward. He's a little weird. Oh, Jesus said, hey, don't do anything. In fact, I want you to stay in Little York County until you get filled with the Holy Spirit because you are going to need power to take on the rest of the world. It's vital. It's not to be blown off. It's not to be taken lightly, and it's not to be skipped past because, oh, this Holy Spirit's a little weird. Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power. The Amplified Bible says, his ability, efficiency, and might. And you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. That's like saying York, your own backyard. Got to start somewhere, right? Pennsylvania, United States, the whole world. You will receive the power to light up the whole world, to set the world on fire. But you're going to need this third part of me called the Holy Spirit. Why settle for a double A battery when you can get a nuclear power plant? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm tired of the little light. God says you can light up the world. Hook up to your power source. Man, if I could, and I'm a youth pastor, I would literally take these clamps and clamp them onto one of my youth, but I will spare you the pain. But listen, who are you hooking up to? How much of you are you letting him have? Do you want the fullness of God? Do you want all of God that you can get? John 1:16 says, for out of his abundance, out of his fullness, we have all received. We all share, and we're all supplied with one grace after another. With spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. That's the Amplified. More, more, and 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 more. What's it taste like? More. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, performed incredible miracles, moved in such great power, even said, I have yet to even arrive. There is always more. It's all about an insatiable hunger for God and never being satisfied with a little sliver of the pie. God gave you a Christmas gift. His name was who? Jesus. And then Jesus, he went up to sit on the throne next to his Father, and he sent us another gift, who was Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of us, we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, when you get born again, you get a portion of the Holy Spirit in you. Some of you, you know, asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit is real simple. It's just saying, God, I want all of you that I can get. We sometimes put little stickers and labels on things. But if you've ever prayed, God, I want all of you. Holy Spirit, I want all of you. Fill me up. When you say that, you pop open this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit and you let him fill you with free access to your life. But a lot of us, we got this little gift and either kept the lid on because we were kind of freaked out what might be inside, or we popped that lid off one time 30 years ago and it got weird. Oh, my tongue's like, oh, just gonna put that on the shelf. It's good. I got enough glitter on me for a lifetime. We're good. Filled with the Holy Spirit. That was weird. Please don't tell my friends. It is what it is. It's like ignoring an unopened gift box for 30 years. It's the 30-year fruitcake that haunts your closet. Regift. Those things are eternal. It's like a Twinkie. They're forever. The Holy Spirit is not like the gross, weird fruitcake that I don't even cut them open. There's like technicolor. There's weird stuff in there. I think they glow in the dark. Like, that's what we think it is. I don't even know what they put in that thing. So why do we limit the gift of the Holy Spirit? Do you know why? We're control freaks. We are. It's fear. I like to control my life. Raise your hand if you were a backseat driver. My mom saves lives. Backseat driving saves lives, guys. All right? Listen. Okay. Most people, when they are driving their beautiful car that they just paid off, are very careful, and they got two hands on the steering wheel, okay? We have two hands on the steering wheel of our lives. And we got an agenda. Black Friday agenda, anybody? Like, have it all mapped out? Nevin scored. You want to know? Listen, I might go next year. Nevin had a plan. All right, we got a plan. We know where we're going. But then sometimes we get this little backseat driver hint of the Holy Spirit. Hey, turn here. Apparently, they were giving free Galaxy S4s away. Okay, listen. I know, right? I mean, he might be telling you that, Holy Spirit or Nevin. Okay, listen. We're control freaks. We like things our own way. Or if you're like the young people, raise your hand. If I'm young, I turn 32 tomorrow. I am still young. I feel young. I feel young, okay? If you are 35 and under, I'm calling you young now too. You may have been what they like to call jaded. You know what jaded means? It means you saw a little ugly in life and decided that people that were, quote, controlled by the Holy Spirit were fruitcakes. They were weird. That is what being filled with God is. I'm good, thank you. Check, please. Back door. I have been the back door girl. Why do we limit God? Fear, control freaks. We're jaded based upon past cultural abuses, depending on what church you grew up in. Maybe you're just scared about what people are going to think. That whole holy roller thing, or, you know, they're just like buzzing with God. I don't know, can you like reel it in a little bit? I say stop worrying, because guess what? The Holy Spirit, number one, is a gentleman. He is not going to make you do anything you don't want to do, and that's why I'm preaching this sermon. He is a gentleman. He will take as much of you as you give him. But if you box him and limit him, He will love you, be with you, and when you need his power, and when you need his grace, and when you need his comfort and strength, and you pop in that box in the limited portion that you want, that you can control, he's always there. But man, there is so much more with him. Do you know what it means to resist the Holy Spirit? I did a study. We're going to talk about resisting, quenching, and grieving. Such a positive message. Okay. Resisting the Holy Spirit is like putting God at arm's length. We are good. We're good. We're together. This is an awkward story, but I learned to slow dance from a friend of mine. And she said, listen, if it gets weird on the dance floor, you just elbow lock them out. I said, well, I'm sorry, what is that? Mom, stand up. I'm not doing this with anybody else. I taught all my girls this. Listen, dads, don't worry. I've taught them the elbow lock. Listen, you just elbow lock them out. Try to get closer. Yeah, good luck with that. Nope, you're elbow locked. It just looks fine for everyone. Nobody else knows, but they are elbow locked out of your hula hoop. Okay, we do this with God. We totally like, hey, we're close. We're in love. Me and Jesus. Just don't get too close. I kind of like this pet part of my life. We resist him. Acts 7:51 says, must you forever resist the Holy Spirit. In context, he's talking about Israel, which is a type and shadow of the church, us today. Israel was self-righteous, self-willed, self-sufficient. We're good. I got this. What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? This is a fun one to study out, so write these things down. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-21 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, holding fast to that which is good. Taste and see, and know that he's good." Now, it does say examine it, because there are some fruitcakes in the church, and there ain't no love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, self-control, all the gifts of the Spirit in their lives. And they may be acting out in the Spirit, but there is no grace and no fruit on them. So you need to examine it to see if it's good. That's okay. It actually tells us to do those things. Quench, to extinguish or to put out. It's when God's trying to do something. He is nudging you from the back seat. Hey, pull over here. You see that woman over there in the Walmart corner? You know she's got a tear-stained face. I want you to go over there and you tell her that God loves her. You ask if you can pray for her. Lord, I got an agenda. It's only 4:30 in the morning on my Black Friday trek. I got things to do. Nudge, nudge, nudge. So we put the wet blanket of the flesh, the wet blanket of self-will, flunk, flunk, and we put out the fire. Why? Because we just want to do our thing. We love God, arm's length, lock out. We love him. But we kind of are a little bit too concerned about what people might think of us, our own time, being weird. My grandma is a soul winner. She's not intimidated by anybody. Thank you for teaching that to me, Grandma. She is not intimidated by anyone. The love of God so consumes and compels her heart. She'll tell anyone about Jesus. She'll stop in the drop of a hat, a little backseat driving from the Lord. Thank you for raising me like that. That is a beautiful example. Don't quench the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is not responding in faith to grace. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given you boldness. He's given you the words to speak, even when we don't have words. What do you mean go up to that person and pray for them? I don't know what I'm going to say. You're not supposed to know. You're supposed to step out in grace, in faith, not knowing what you're going to say. What are you going to go up to them? Like, ever have a breakup plan for those single people out there? I'm going to call them, and I have 3 points. I remember being a support system for my friend. Okay, do you remember your 3 points? Okay, I'll sit right beside you. Know your 3 points. God doesn't give you 3 points, okay, guys? He just tells you to go in faith, open up your mouth, and he'll fill it, and a life gets touched. Quenching the Spirit is just not responding to his tug on your heart. You can grieve the Spirit. It means to afflict with deep sorrow. This is an interesting one to study. Ephesians chapter 4:29-32. And for some of you, this may sound like your Thanksgiving. Do not raise your hand. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Negative, criticism, judgment, complaining. But only such a word that is full and good for edification, according to the need at the moment. Edification means to build up. To build up. Isn't it great when someone praises you, builds up, talks about positive things, talks about who Jesus is? So that it will give grace to those who hear. Words of grace. Remember step one? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you with all malice. These are really just rough words. But it basically boils down to this. By grace through faith, we were redeemed. We were bought back. We were freed from the old us. We were freed from the junk. We were freed from the nasty. I went through a very angry year in my life, which maybe I'll share another time. My junior year of college, I was angry. I was angry at some things outside of my control, in my family, in my friendships. I was just mad. And it started to change my personality into something that I wasn't. But I was strong on the outside and laughing and joyful. But on the inside, there was a root of anger that was starting to change who I was. God's grace set me free from that. And I have let God uproot that, put that behind me. Now, it doesn't mean I don't get angry sometimes, but I remember what that ugly thing looked like. Therefore, I fight it off and receive God's grace to free me from it so I don't slip the chains of the old me back on. Anybody come from an addict line of family? Both sides of our family. Alcohol, drugs, all kinds of fun stuff. God freed us from that. But when you go back, it just slips the chains on. If we want to talk about the church, there are some people that claim to move in some powerful spiritual gifts. They may be big TV preachers. There was a season this generation 35 and under saw where we watch one fall after another fall after another fall. Some went to prison. Some lost it all. Some lost their wives. Some traded up on their wives with their secretary. Ooh, it was a rough time to be a Christian. Kind of like one of those moments where you're like, I'm not a spirit-filled believer. You just didn't want to claim the title. What happened was, is there was a generation of preachers, generation of ministers that moved in powerful gifts, but did not let the character and nature, the grace of God, change them. They got in pride, brassy arrogance. They thought they were above sin. And they fell. Pride comes before the what? Fall. They were shooting stars. Never let your gifting take you where your character can't keep you. But I will tell you this, that is not your excuse to sit on the back row the rest of your life working on yourself. So don't take it like that. I'm just trying to explain to a past generation why things happened the way they did. Step out in faith and lay your whole life on the altar. Romans 12, 1 and 2, be a living sacrifice. God, I want you to use me in a powerful way. God, I want you to change my personality, my character, my nature into more of you, and it's only done by his grace. So lay your whole self on the altar. And for those of us who have been spirit-filled for 30 years, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually lay your personality on the altar so it doesn't cause anyone else to stumble and write off the gift of the Holy Spirit. If your family does not want to be filled or move in the gifts of the Spirit, you may want to reevaluate what your life looks like. How about you just start working on getting the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, no matter what your family goes through, and self-control. And you know what that tastes like? Tastes like more. You know, it's interesting. I've seen healing. I've seen miracles. I have seen miraculous things. But you know what speaks to me more than anything? The fruits of the Spirit. My friend Erica over there, when she was a young girl, I share this with my teens, I saw her constantly walk and fruits of the Spirit. That girl knew God. She walked with him. She had such a peace and a love, no matter what she was going through. And at a young age, I knew I wasn't walking like that. So I always knew there was more. I got more later. I was filled with the Holy Spirit at a young age, I think 7 years old. But I walked in the fullness of God because I always knew there was more. And around my junior year of college, after I got over my anger, I wanted all of him that I can get. I laid my personality on the altar and said, God, hack away. Let's do this thing because I want more. And it was the fruit of the Spirit that I wanted the most. And with that came great power. So it's time to refocus. To receive all the grace of God to become more like Jesus and not power mongers. You know, people that are obsessed about, let's read, you know, Corinthians over and over again. Let's talk about the many, many gifts of the power of the God. You're just kind of just power mongering it. You will be a shooting star unless you focus first on the fruits of the Spirit of your life, because your character will preserve you in your gifting. If your gifting excels and your character degenerates, shooting star over like that. And that's not what my generation wants to see. But we do crave the power of God. We crave the reality of God. We want to see blind eyes open. We want to see the dead raised. But if you walk in love first and foremost, you'll have a voice to pray for us. And then the miracles do come. So how do we, let's focus on the answer, avoid resisting, quenching, and grieving the Holy Spirit? I want you to write this down. Number one, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And number two, walk constantly in fellowship with him. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. The original Greek actually talks about, it actually in the original Greek opens up, be being filled. Be being filled means keep on constantly and continually being filled. It's an endless well. Verse 19 through 21, it tells us how. It talks about singing, giving thanks. Oh, it even says submitting to one another in love. You can study that out. So go ahead for the sake of time. Ephesians 5:18, read 19 through 21. Jude 20 says, build yourself up in the most holy faith, making progress, rising higher and higher, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Don't neglect the gift that's in you because it feels weird. Because that's how you're being filled, constantly. Be being filled. 2 Timothy, this is definitely worth looking up, especially the Amplified. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 7. I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame, keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire. Anybody feel like, this is a romantic term, the spark's just not there anymore? Just don't see the fireworks like I used to. I just don't feel it in my knees. Well, from what I hear about marriage, it's work. You know, you gotta work on it. You know, it's not gonna be, you know, just buzzing in love every time they brush your arm, you know. But I'll tell you what, my parents loved each other. I saw them work on their marriage. There was a deep love there because it wasn't based on circumstances. It wasn't based on God getting you what you wanted for Christmas. To stir up the fire, if you feel like your heart's kind of grown just dull, you feel dry, feel you gone cold, is to stir it up. It's to fan the flame. And one of the ways it talks about this, it says, by the means of the laying on of hands. So people are like, why do people touch you when you pray for them? I don't know, it says so in the Bible. If it says in the Bible, I just do it. I try not to question it too much. You start questioning one thing, you question it all. But it says biblically, it's good for people to pray for you, put their hand on your shoulders and hold your hand because it's a point of contact, it's a point of faith, it's a transference. Electricity is transferred. What, when you hold hands? I'm not trying to question it. It just says it right there. It actually works. And tonight, after we dismiss, elders, be prepared, or if you're in leadership in this church, please feel free to come forward. And we're going to lay hands on people that want to stir it up, that want to fan the flames of their heart, that want more of God. And you don't want to know the evidence of a life being constantly filled. If you're like, well, I don't know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. We're good. I pray in the Spirit all the time. Keep reading. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, fear. So if you're in constant fear and worry, really good kick to say, maybe you should let people lay hands on you and pray for you and have your back in life and get you stirred up. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and the Amplified says a calm, well-balanced, disciplined, and self-controlled mind. I'm a racing mind. My mind was racing last night. I'm like, go to bed, 2 a.m., fall asleep. Okay, so it's something I have to be being filled with the Holy Spirit to get my mind to settle down, to be focused on him. So where do you start? So step two, walk with God daily. Galatians 5:16 in the Amplified says, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. Habitually means habit forming. It's my habit to just stay with him. It's my habit, my personal habit, I tell my teens all the time, is put your Bible on your pillow. Because then you at least have to think about physically moving it before you go to bed. It works. Now, if you are like most people now and you read your Bible on your cell phone, there's nothing wrong, but I am a pastor. I've been to Bible school 2 times over and I love God. But I check my Facebook every 5 minutes when I'm reading my Bible on my cell phone. So just, it is what it is. So you want to put a good habit about just deciding to walk with God daily, just put this thing on your pillow. It's great. It's a little good decor if you want something that matches your pillows. These come in multiple colors. That's fine. They're crafty people that will, like, put stuff on it. Like, they'll bedazzle it for you. Put it somewhere where you have to think about every day, I'm going to make a decision to just listen to him. This is listening when you read it in faith. Otherwise, just words on the page. Check. Let's see, did we finish Galatians 5:16? Let's see. Take every step in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Just give him something to work with. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. Walk daily with him, but do something every day that makes you feel uncomfortable. Because then you need him. And if you need him, he'll use you. And when you are in a close relationship, when you stay close with him, it builds confidence when he asks you to do something. Because you know, God has your back. Galatians 5:24-25 says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, and its appetites and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit, we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line in our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit. You just walk with him. It's a mindfulness. People are like, how do I walk with God? That's such a cliche thing. Well, you know, being a Christian like a dime a dozen these days, everybody's a Christian. I'm American. I'm a Christian. That's how we do it in this country. Okay, so I'm just going to say, are you a Christian walking with God? It's kind of what separates the sheep from the goats. It's a mindfulness. It's just staying connected. It's talking to him, thinking about him. When you're in love, you're just thinking about him all the time. It's embarrassing. You talk about him all the time. Your friends are like, oh gosh, there they go again. Oh, they're so good looking. They're so sweet. I just think of them all the time. Well, that's love and it's a great thing and everybody wants it. So be in love with God. Just be constantly mindful of him. When you're constantly mindful of him, you're going to talk about him. You're going to think about him. You're going to honor him with your life. You're not going to do stuff that breaks his heart. You know why long distance relationships don't work out very well? Because you're not very mindful of him. Kind of out of sight, out of mind. Keep them close. Galatians 5:18 says, if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, a generation has twisted this to say, just, hey, you just do whatever you want. God still loves you. Yes, he does. He just doesn't love what you're doing. And what you're doing grieves his heart. But when you walk close with him, when you walk close with him, you naturally start doing what he loves. It's not about the formula. I'm in the Lord's army. It's not about the regiment. It's not about going to boot camp every day. I'm gonna pray in the Spirit for 2 hours. I'm gonna read 4 chapters every day, highlight in 2 different colors, apply to my life, and then text a friend, because that's what being a good Christian's all about. Ugh. Anybody raised like that? Don't raise your hand too hard if your parents are in the room. But living in your flesh, living in the law, is just doing stuff out of your own strength. It's doing the right thing. Always. I know people that just always do the right thing. They make me look bad. I'm like, stop doing the right thing. I feel like a bad person. They're just good at doing the right thing. They're just a disciplined person. But if you are always doing the right thing in your own strength, you are going to burn out. You will break down and people will walk all over you the rest of your life. And then you won't walk in power because you're so walked all over from doing the right thing, from kicked in the teeth your whole life, but you look like a great Christian, but you're not walking in victory and abundance and strength and love and joy really deep down in your heart because you're so busy faking it till you make it with everybody else that drives you nuts. So stop trying to do it in your own strength. And when that person finds you at work, dumps a big thing on your desk, invites you to their Christmas party that you can't stand it because they are so obnoxious. Thanks, I'd love to. Great, now I got to get you a gift. Okay, you just receive God's grace and go, God, I do not like them. I don't. Nothing in me wants to be in the same elevator going down or up with them. They drive me crazy. God, I need your grace because I am choosing to love them. And only you can help me do it from my whole heart, whole pie, whole heart. I want more. see here. Doing on time. All right, I'm going to skip ahead a few of some of my notes. If you want to study this out, hit up 2 Corinthians 3, 5 through 6. Galatians 5, 4 through 5 says, if you seek to be justified, declared righteous, to be given right standing with God through the law by trying to be perfect, trying to do the right thing all the time, you are bought to nothing and so separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. People quote that wrong all the time. You know what falling from grace means? Being good in your own strength. Not stepping back and going, God, I want you, I have love. It's easy to love your family. You got them the rest of your life, it's blood. Blood's always thicker than water. I choose to love them every day. But you may need to be supercharged with God's grace to be strong for them, to then overflow into their lives to change it. So when you walk by faith in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you receive grace for a natural overflow into something that pleases him. Joanne, come with me. I wasn't planning. I didn't have a girl in the front row, and I didn't want to make this weird with Nevin. So Joanne is someone I walked with as a kid. She actually mentored me, just in case you didn't know this, discipled, whatever you want to call it. When you spend time walking with Joanne, we'd go shopping together, we'd eat out together, she would teach me to do stuff, we'd run errands. I love running errands. It's one of my love languages. Do you need to go grocery shopping? I will go with you. You spend time with Joanne, you're going to start to act like her. You might start to, smell like her. You know, I just might smell like Joanne. I'm okay with that. She smells good. She smells like love, peace, joy, kindness, goodness, self-control. People don't want to spend time with you? Look at the fruit of your life. Miss Gerald came in this week, dropping off turkeys to give to needy families. Her and JC feed hundreds of people. They are always running around this big old truck with smiles, unloading food. Like, I'm telling you, this couple, get to know them, JC and Gerald Toby. Do you know what they smell like? Turkey? No. They smell like God. They smell like the heart of Christ. You get around them, you see what they're doing, you volunteer and you be a part of what they're doing. It makes you smile because you see the lives affected by the character and nature of God in them. So funny, Miss Gerald dropped off a turkey and she hugs you. When she hugs you, she just holds you tight. I'm a hugger too. I'm like a hold you till it's awkward person. People like are tapping out, please stop. So she hugs. I'm like, that's how I like to be hugged. It was so interesting. She walked away and I'm just sitting at my desk typing away, smiling. I had a million things to do that day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I smell like Miss Gerald. She had this like really sweet smelling perfume on and it probably lasted about an hour and it wasn't like a bad smell. It was a good smell. And I'm like, gosh, do you remember preaching a little bit? She was joyfully telling what God had been doing and blessing their ministry. God had blessed them exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond their highest expectation. And that joy and that love, started getting on me. And I was rejoicing with their ministry. Be the fragrance of God. It says in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, if you don't know how to be smelling good like that, spend time with people that do. It says in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God, copy him, follow his example as well-beloved children, imitate their father, and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a sacrifice to God for you, so it became a sweet fragrance. So do you smell like God? You smell like hell. You can tell where you spend your time. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 15 says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us to triumph and through us spreads and makes evidence his fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. We are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which exhales unto God. And if you continue reading, people start smelling you. My sister married this wonderful man. His name's Eric. And he's a really good guy, and I kind of just knew he was the one, and what really proved it to me is when they decided to get married, I asked Eric. I said, you know, Eric, so, you know, who's moving where? What are you guys going to do? He said, I don't know, but I'm going where she's going. I'm with her. We'll figure it out. The rest is details. When you're in love with God, you're just going where he's going. You're not elbow locking him out. You're not kind of like, shh, stop it, I'm driving. I'm going with them. And in the book of Ruth, it talks about when Ruth and Naomi were going, it's actually used in a lot of marriage ceremonies. It says, I'm going with you. Don't even try to stop me. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And that's the beauty of a true love relationship. I'm just sticking with you. I'm going where you're going, Lord. I'm just sticking with you. I'm all in. Rest is details. Wherever you want to go, we're going. Let's do this. It's the adventure. It's the love adventure of God. But like in any relationship, the moment you start hardening your heart to their voice, the moment you start resisting when they ask you, can you pick up a gallon of milk on the way back from work? Hey, honey, can you do this one thing and really help me out? The moment you start resisting their voice, hardening your heart to their voice, you get in the danger zone. It's hard for you to hear their voice later for them to protect you. And you also get in the dangers of habitual sin. I'm going to fly through this. Habitual sin, the habit forming of sin, are our pet favorite sins. They are the idol sins in our life. It may just be gossip. Or it may be shooting up. I don't know. Teach his own. Sin. It's not your job to judge which one is worse than the other. It's the habit that you can't break. And when you sit down with your little ladies group playing cards and somebody's name comes up and you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit to not just sit silently, but to shut it down, that you don't go with it because you like a little juicy gossip. That is a habit-forming sin that will harden your heart to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And there's all big ones too, but we're not supposed to judge which one's big and which one's small. Hebrews chapter 10, 26 through 29 says, if we go on deliberately and willfully sinning after once acquiring the knowledge of truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins. It doesn't say God can't free you. It just says he's done all that you already need. He's already given you the grace to overcome that sin. But if you're not going to step out, receive God's grace to do what he's called you to do, it says this. You have spurned and trampled under the foot the Son of God, who has considered the covenant blood which was consecrated as common, thus profaning it and insulting the Holy Spirit who imparts grace. The New King James says, the Spirit of grace. So when you choose to hold on to our pet little sin, the one we keep in our little back pocket, because it's not that bad or it's my favorite thing and I just don't want to receive God's grace empowerment to be free from it, it says that you're just trampling on everything Jesus did for you, spitting on the blood of the cross. This is like a really, it's one you don't even want to preach from because it's just so heartbreaking. You ever watch The Passion of Christ? That little scripture doesn't mean what it used to. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's not in my own strength being a better person. It's just saying, God, I am failing at this area in my life and I can't break free. And I need your help. So I'm giving it to you in faith. Like Abraham laid his son Isaac on the altar in faith. I fully believe he could not actually kill his son. I have friends that are parents and I'm just an aunt, but I could never do that to one of my little, you know, adoptive kind of niece and nephews kind of thing. I believe he put his son on the altar in faith, going, God, you're going to do something. But I am giving you the thing I hold dearest. I am giving you my life. I'm giving you my personality. I'm giving you my struggles. I cannot fix me. But you can. And I'm giving you full access. I am giving you everything. I am letting you out of the box. I want more of you and less of me. John chapter 3 verse 30 says that you, he's talking about the Lord God, John was speaking, would increase and I would decrease. Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 talks about don't receive the grace of God in vain. Ephesians 3 verse 2, Paul said, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was entrusted to me to dispense it for your benefit. Receiving something in vain is to not use it to its full potential. Whether or not applying God's grace to your life to be free from just junk or applying grace to your life to step out of what's comfortable for God to use you in a powerful way. A steward is to hold something to dispense to someone else. The grace of God is God's divine influence, his character, his nature, all that he is, received in one's life and reflected to the world and the people around you. So you are receiving the grace of God in vain if you are not first and foremost letting God have his full way in your life. And then, don't stop there, but then allowing it to flow through you into someone else. Give God something to work with. Step out past your small little hula hoop of life. Let God in your circle. Or do we just pop the lid back on? Thanks, we're good. Got just enough victory to keep my family out of debt. Thanks, we're good. Got just enough victory to not be depressed this Christmas season. Thanks, Lord. Got the joy. Or are you a steward of God's grace, where you freely receive it to be the love, to be the joy, to be the peace, to be the strength for the world around you? There is so much more. I'm trying to think. I might fast forward. So you're like, okay, where do I go with this? Ooh. Geez, I don't know. Got a lot of things to work on, Sherry. Well, it all starts in repentance, right? What is repentance? To turn. And it's not like an I'm sorry, I got my hand cut in the cookie. I feel bad. Thanks, Sherry. I feel really great about myself this Sunday. Do you remember your other messages where I felt awesome? Let's go back to those. Okay. Well, repentance is actually joyful. It's not something to like think it's like you, I failed in life and grovel and then keep beating yourself up for the next 6 months for failing at the last 6 months. Repentance is a joyful freedom in the fact of, God, I messed up and I'm just going to turn from my plan on the steering wheel and I'm going to go where you have me go. I'm going to do what you have me say do. Your people will be my people. Wherever you go, I'm going. I'm just going to let you steer. Repentance is joyful because it just means freedom and it means fullness and it basically means popping the box lid off your life and saying, God, fill me up. And I'm sorry I shelved you for a long time. Or maybe you've said, I've never said that before. Like, I just thought God was some fire insurance, you know? Hey, I don't feel like going to hell. Say this prayer. You're in. There's more. That's half the battle. It's great. But there's more. There's a fullness of your life. There's a freedom to your life. So turn to repentance. Transform your mind in the word. Remember step one? Get a kingdom mindset, step two. And be being filled continually, step three. And walk with him. My pastor in Tulsa, I was out there for 11 years. He was a football guy. He was a football coach. Really cool. Super intimidating. It takes a lot to intimidate me. I was intimidated by my pastor. He was awesome. But he said this story about when he first gave his life to God. He started going to this church, and they were weird. He was like, they're weird. I don't know, but I wanted God, so I just kept coming. And he walked out the back door, and some guy chased after him, and he says, hey, do you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? And he goes, hey, no, we're good. Thanks. No, dude, do you want to pray in tongues? Definitely not. Thanks. He was a cool guy. So Pastor Bill goes, you know, and then he said the last thing. He said, hey, you want all the God you can get? And he goes, I got stuck. And I thought about it, and I'm mad. He goes, I just got mad. I said, yeah, I do. I want all of God that I can get. Because God changed his life. He gave his life to God. But he wasn't walking in victory. He wasn't walking in abundance. He had a piece of the pie, and he knew there was more, and he wanted it. But if it looked anything like the weird stuff going on in this church, he was good. So I'm asking you to forget about the weird stuff and just make God normal. Because he is so full, and he's so big, and he's so amazing. He's so full of love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and self-control. And he's a little out of control sometimes too, because I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all, right? So why don't we get our brain off what we think it's going to look like and just say, God, oh, I want all of you that I can get. I want the whole pie, and I'm tired of limiting you. I am tired of boxing you because I don't want to be like so-and-so. How about we just take that one day at a time, and I give you a free access packs to change my life? Maybe you asked God to come into your life a long time ago, but you're not walking in fullness, or you feel like the flame has gone cold. Maybe you got some junk in your life you're not receiving God's grace to free you from because you just don't think it's that big a deal. Or maybe you think it's so big and you're so good at recouping and don't miss your AA meeting that you'll just be a struggling addict the rest of your life. My family is living proof that you don't have to be a struggling addict the rest of your life. God has freed you. There is fullness. There is more. So if anybody wants more, I ask everybody, please stand up. And elders, if you're in leadership in this church, please come forward. If you lead a Bible study, men's group, women's group, come forward. But if there is anybody in this house today that says, I want more, and I'm tired of caring about what it looks like. God, fill me up. I want a fullness of you. Holy Spirit, I want all of you that I can get. I ask you to please come forward and find one of these people, and they're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. If you just want stirred up, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not constantly being filled, and I am tired. I am weary in doing good. My heart hurts. Please come find one of these people, and they're going to pray for you and stand with you and build you up in the most holy faith. You're not alone. I'm going to pray right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift our hands and we say, we want more. Fill us up with our lives, God, so full of you that we would have fruit. So full of your spirits, the whole world be banging down our doors to get what you have, Lord God. A full life, a miraculous life, a powerful life. Allow a life bursting with love and overflowing to the world around us. A life full of your grace. We love you, God. And we leave this day taking you with us, and we ask you to use us. We give you our lives. Take all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.